Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to Daniel chapter 5. We'll read together the whole chapter, but we will look specifically at verses 17 through the end of the chapter as we consider the Word of God and as we unpack this passage about an unbeliever, Belteshazzar. So let us read together the Word of God from Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the kings and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God which had been in Jerusalem, and the kings and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised their gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked together against each other. And the king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known the king's interpretation. Then the king Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation, O king. The Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and language trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed, and whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up, and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened into pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which you do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand owns all your ways you have not glorified." Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription translation that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharizen. This is the interpretation of each word, Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being 62 years old. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. As we look at this passage of God's word, we need to have in our mind what we looked at last Lord's Day, as we considered that Daniel had told Nebuchadnezzar of the fact that he was getting too big for his own britches, as he was considering and trusting in himself instead of in the Almighty God, and that he was essentially sent out to grass for a period of time until he, as we read here as well, came back to himself and realized that God rules in the kingdoms of men. And so as we look at this passage, we must understand that this is in the background, and that yet Belshazzar, that we see here, is unwilling to serve Almighty God. He's unwilling to be obedient to God. In fact, he knows exactly what went on with his father, and yet he is unwilling to serve God. And so as we look at this passage, we must understand something. The theme that we want to see in God's word is that God presents his good news even to the hardest of hearts. God presents his good news even to the hardest of hearts. In verses 17 through 21, we see that God's giving his message of salvation. In verses 22 through 24, we see the response of unbelief against God. And then in verses 25 through 31, we see that God's judgment will come. And so first of all, God's message of salvation is brought. God has given to Belshazzar knowledge of what goes on, who is in control of all things, that he is. And yet, even as he is the son of Nebuchadnezzar, knowing what went on with Nebuchadnezzar, that he is unwilling to bow before Almighty God. We must understand that God is he who rules in the kingdoms of men even. And so the gospel, though, that is brought, the good news, the knowledge that is given to Belshazzar, is two-sided. Paul puts it this way concerning the gospel, 2 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Notice that the same message, the gospel, is the aroma of life to those who are believing and the aroma of death to those who are perishing. There are some who just will not believe the gospel. We must understand that the gospel is a way in which the kingdom of heaven is opened and shut. And he brings a full offer of the gospel. When we call with the gospel on this broadcast, it is our prayer that we do not lay one side or the other exclusively, but that we lay both sides. And that's one thing that we need to see this morning, is that God's message of the gospel says those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and those who do not believe will go to hell. God will judge. Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." God's message of salvation goes to the ends of the earth. And yet, even as we realize that God had given to Belshazzar the opportunity to know what his father had learned directly through his father, yet the response is that of unbelief. As we see at the beginning, he has this in the background, yet what does he do? He's having a party. He's having a very large party for 1,000 of his lords. He drank wine, and he called for the cups of the temple of Jerusalem to be brought in so that his wives, his concubines, his lords, and the king would be able to drink from them. This is a direct dishonor of Almighty God. He knows what had gone on with his father, and yet he's not willing to bow before him. In fact, he is thumbing his nose at Almighty God. And that's what we read. "But you, O son, have not humbled your heart, although you knew this," verse 22. And we must understand that all people have in the back of their minds, in their understanding of the world, that there is truly a God. And if you search your own heart, you will feel that and understand that. All human cultures have had gods of some description. And we need to understand that. Romans 1:21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Although they knew God, God says that all people have a knowledge of who God is. This world around us is enough to make us responsible to believe in God, even though following the fall, we cannot see him in it and understand who he truly is through the world. And so we need the Bible, God's revelation of himself, to show us who to believe and what to believe. As we look, continuing here, we see that he puts his trust, Belshazzar puts his trust in the things of this world. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Worship of the tools that God has given to us. We need to understand that when we worship the things of this world, we're worshiping the things that God has placed here for our use in his service. Isaiah 44 speaks about this, that on the one hand, people take the things of this world and they use them. And on the other hand, they fall down before them like money and power and many other things. And yet we see that people worship the things of this world instead of the one true God. Isaiah says, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? And when we run after the things of this world instead of trusting and serving the Almighty God, that's what Belshazzar is doing here, and that's what we're doing when we run after these things of this world. And we must understand that God's true judgment is coming. He has a hard heart. He has been given the interpretation. He has been given the opportunity to turn, even as we look back on his father, even as we see that here, and yet he is unwilling. We see the Mene, Mene, Tekel, Peres. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. We need to understand how easy it is to have a hard heart, even in the opportunities that God gives us. And so we must understand something else, that God is sovereign over hard hearts and soft hearts. We read in Romans 9, verses 22 and 23, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. God uses both for his glory and for his honor, showing his wrath and his judgment on the vessels prepared for destruction, and showing his glory of his mercy in those who are prepared for glory. And we read then, continuing, that we are to believe and to confess Christ. Belshazzar did not. Belshazzar has been given the opportunity, but he is going on his path as king and feeling very important about himself. He makes Daniel the third highest ruler, puts a gold chain around his neck, and that very night he was slain. If we continue in our own sinfulness, in our own wickedness, we too will be judged. Romans 9 or 10 verses 9 through 13, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so as we consider this passage, we consider the background that's going on. We consider the fact that God has given to each one of us the world around us to demonstrate who he is. As we consider as well the wonder of salvation shown to us in Jesus Christ. And we are called by these things not to harden our hearts, but to bow before Jesus Christ, to put our faith in him. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoos in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.